Today, we'll take a closer look at the frustration people have around Adobe's subscription model, especially as it concerns us photographers. We'll touch on the subscription model of Lightroom, the politics behind it, and we'll have a little glimpse into a possibly better future. This episode is brought to you by discoverthetopfloor.com. Join us on one of the spectacular 2019 photo tours for some amazing photography in Northern Norway, on a ship around the Lofoten Archipelago, or on the Bohemian Castles tour to Prague and the Czech Republic, to Kyrgyzstan, one of the most beautiful landscapes and cultures along the Silk Road, or to capture the breathtaking fall colors of Romania and Transylvania in fall. Spend a week or two dedicated entirely to photography and to great cultural experiences. Meet like-minded people, learn from the best, and see places that you always wanted to see or that you didn't even know existed. Find out more at discoverthetopfloor.com. That's discoverthetopfloor.com. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 849 for December the 6th, 2018. Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right, from the top floor. Hey, hello, welcome. I'm Chris. This is Tips from the Top Floor. We are in for another week of photo talk here. As you listen to this, I'm down in southern Germany doing some client work and also meeting some family. So I'm recording this ahead of time on Sunday. I'm recording on Sunday the sacrifice I do for this show. No, just kidding. I love to podcast. I wouldn't do this and the other podcasts if I didn't love doing it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, let's dive right in and hear what Richard has to say.
Hi, Chris. Richard calling from northeast Germany. I'm a Brit living in Mecklenburg, so quite exciting times for me and my family. I'm calling with a plea of help. I was previously a Lightroom user, and I've completely lost the thread and understanding on what the Lightroom products now are. I'm an amateur photographer that uses a Nikon DSLR to take raw photos. I was pretty happy with Lightroom 6, except for the amount of times it crashed. I'm completely lost now, and I feel as though Adobe have forced me into a subscription package that is not really aligned with what I prefer. I far prefer to buy software and have it standalone on my own computer. And I also find that the version of Adobe Lightroom that they've pushed me onto is nowhere near as functional as the desktop version, Lightroom 6, that I was previously running. With all the name changes, product changes, and seemingly changes in functionality, I'm completely at a loss as to what my options are. So if you can unravel some of the Adobe mayhem, I would be much happier.
Thanks, Richard. Lightroom. It's not just a technical photography topic. It's also a political topic a bit. And let me try to unravel that for you. So your Lightroom 6 crashed a lot. That, I don't know what that is about, because mine didn't. And I haven't heard people having that happen. Could be the size of your memory. Could be problem with a hard drive. It can be slow at times, yeah. But I totally get it. You're lost, and being forced into the subscription, you're frustrated. I can hear that. I get quite a few of these kind of requests of people being very confused about the name change and the being forced into the subscription model. And those are calls for help, right? I hear, what on earth is Adobe doing? I hear, this is confusing. I hear, why do I now need a subscription? And I'm caught in the middle of this shift as much as you are. And it is a shift. It changes things from the, predictable. Let's say it used to be a form of predictability of, I don't know, buying a new version, buying every third version of something. I did this with Photoshop. I just didn't need the features, and they weren't enticing enough for me to upgrade. And then two versions later, I thought, yeah, maybe it's about time. And that cost for me personally, spread out over time, that cost was quite similar to what I'm paying now. I'm on the photographer's subscription, which is here in Germany, including tax, it's about 12 euros a month. So it's 120 euros, 144 euros a year. And I can deduct the tax. So it's 120 euros a year for me because it's a business expense. And yeah, it kind of came out about the same. So the predictability hasn't changed for me. The cost is distributed over a longer time. But I totally get it that this is confusing for users who don't use this from a business point of view. And I wish they could make it cheaper because I've pretty much stopped using Photoshop. I don't use Photoshop anymore. I use Affinity Photo, which is not a subscription. And I hope they will stay that way. But yeah, I've given up on Photoshop. Photoshop doesn't really exist that much for me anymore. I might use it 1 out of 10 times. And that is not because Affinity Photo can't do something that Photoshop can, at least what I need. It's more like the shortcuts are different. And I totally know how to do this in Photoshop. And I'd have to relearn. And right at this point in time, I don't have the time to relearn because I need a result. So that's mostly the reason. But I've become pretty good at using Affinity Photo. Not as proficient as I used to be in Photoshop, but honestly, I don't need that level of proficiency for what I use because I'm in Lightroom. And 99% of what I do with photos happens in Lightroom. But anyway, let's try to unravel your questions and a lot of other people's questions about Lightroom just a little bit. First and foremost, I don't really have good answers, right? At this point, we are in flux. Things are in flux, so don't expect a silver bullet at the end of this. I cannot give this to you. But let's try to look at a few things. Let's look at the history. Adobe is the market leader, unequivocally. They own the market. There's some competition, but they are the biggest and probably also the most feature-rich in the photography market. For example, in the DAM market, DAM, D-A-M, standing for Digital Asset Management, which is what Lightroom at its heart is. It's a digital asset manager. Photoshop used to be the gold standard for photo editing, but it was always really complicated to use. The amount of tutorials. I used to do Photoshop tutorials, and I doubt that anyone ever used more than, 5% of its functionality. So Adobe moved into the DAM space, the digital asset management space, which again, managing the library, that's your library module in Lightroom. And then they coupled that with their RAW engine. And initially, some of you might remember the advent of RAW photos. That was a time when you wouldn't just edit a RAW file as you do now, but you would develop it. You had to go through this development step to turn it into the photo. And then a lot of the software back then would spit out, after the development process, would spit out a TIFF file, and then you could open that in Photoshop and continue editing. So Lightroom kind of simplified this. It took the complexity out of the process while quickly becoming powerful enough to kind of become the main photo hub for many photographers. I call it the hub because it is where my photos go. It also tries to be that for video, but no, it's definitely not there. But for photos, yeah, photos go in there. Unless they are from my iOS devices, my iPhone and, pretty much my iPhone. That lives in the Apple ecosystem because that is just so nicely integrated and convenient, and I can't be bothered to mix the stuff I put in Lightroom, which is my highbrow, air quotes, photography, whereas the iPhone is more like the snapshot kind of stuff, which the lines get blurred. The lines get pretty much blurred at this point. But pretty much all photos, apart from, the smartphone ones, live in Lightroom. And that is still the case for many of you out there. I know that from many discussions. The competition is getting closer, though. On1 is doing interesting stuff right now. But, Lightroom is quite capable. While given it's not always the fastest choice, and also, like myself, many photographers have made a substantial investment in Lightroom. And I don't mean this from a monetary point of view, but from with their non-destructive edits, the star ratings, the keywords, the entire catalog is a lot of work if you are good doing your workflow. And lots of photographers' collections and smart collections, their edit history, the amount of work that has gone into many Lightroom photo libraries is substantial. And it is for me, I know that, which makes the move to another system not really an attractive proposition, because you would probably lose a lot of that. I'm so happy I can go back to pictures. I have the damn part of it that I can, that helps me find stuff. But yeah, again, I'm doing this professionally. I'm writing books. I need to be able to quickly see all photos that have been shot with a shorter focal length than 24 with one specific camera and with a special key. Well, I don't know. The whole database aspect of this is just as a lifesaver for my way of working. And this wouldn't be possible if I switched to a different system. So I cannot switch at this point. I'm stuck pretty much. And yeah, you know, again, it's an investment. I keep calling this an investment because it is. The star ratings, the keywords, the collections, the smart collections, edit history, lots of stuff has gone into that. And I know that's the case for many of you. Might not be that hard for others, but for me, the changing to something else, whoever comes along and tries to take over needs to make that easy. Needs to allow me to preserve that stuff. It's got tight lock-in into the Adobe ecosystem. It's a bit it's a bit like having all your stuff in Apple's iCloud, right? These kind of deals, you will always have to do a bit of a leap of faith when you go into something. And again, this is not going to be a look at alternatives here. But let's still look at the main points of critique, right? The subscription model, that is a point of critique, and I don't like it. It just doesn't feel right. And many don't like it. Many of you don't like it. Having to repeatedly pay for a software that you might only use occasionally doesn't hit right with many of you. And I understand that. On the other hand, it adds convenience. It does add a lot of convenience. I mean, we're doing this, or most of us doing this with the phones, right? We're paying the $1,000 for the phone and the, I don't know how many $100 for the contract over a period of 1 or 2 years. And then we just swap it out for a new one and we keep paying. And it kind of spreads out the cost. Makes it also less visible for us. I'm in the boat, I buy my phones. And then I have a separate contract. So for me, I get this, the full brunt of the cost factor for a new phone at once, and it makes it very visible. But then at the same time, I used to be somewhat in software development. I know a lot of software developers and independent ones especially, and from their point of view, subscriptions make a lot of sense because they provide you with a sustained income and the ability to plan. And if you only make money when you release a new version of your software, that's quite a gamble, because you will make the bulk of money in just the weeks after the release, and then it'll trickle off. It's anything you sell online, that's how it works. You always have that peak at the beginning, and then it trickles off. So you have to do really good planning, financial planning, to survive the drought in between releases. It's quite a burden. And it also sets the wrong incentives, because it increases the need for the developer to emphasize new features and releases over stuff like stability improvements, right? The developers with a former business model need flashy stuff to sell a new version. Over time, that kind of a wrong incentive has often led to a decrease in software quality. So I get the subscription model. I do understand it, and I do pay subscriptions for quite a lot of software that I use. And I'm usually happy to do that. However, if it's forced on you by the market leader who kind of has a de facto monopoly, and of course I'm talking about Adobe here, then that doesn't feel right. So I get your criticism. And as a professional though, again, I pay for the photography bundle, which is about $10 a month and I move on, right? It's I don't really have much choice, so I can't be as unhappy about it as I want. I won't be able to easily switch. It would be very painful for me to do so. So, yeah. By the way, this is not new. This is totally not new. Adobe announced the Creative Cloud some 5 years ago. And there's... the internet doesn't forget. There's a video on YouTube where the Adobe CEO is being challenged by a reporter, like in a conference stuff situation, conference room. And the reporter challenges him about the pricing model, which at that time, 5 years ago, before the Creative Cloud was... Well, most of you guys in the United States were lucky for the pricing you got, because over here in Europe, some of the Adobe pricing, the box pricing, not no subscription, just the box with the new software, was like twice as high as in the United States. So it was a bit of a sport to try to figure out a VPN kind of solution to be able to register and buy that through the US and stuff. It was just a pain in the neck to see those prices. But again, monopoly, hard to not use Adobe. So there's a link in the show notes. I would really like you to watch that video, because it's cringeworthy, because that guy is so set on the Creative Cloud even 5 years ago. Looking in hindsight, yeah, sure, they knew where this was going. It was all planned out, at least mostly planned out. But the way that guy reacts to the reporter made me not like Adobe that much anymore anyway. So again, and of course I hear your other point of critique, Adobe, which is, I don't think that's a good move. But anyway, Adobe renamed Lightroom, one of their photography flagship products, in a weird way, and that is causing confusion. Lightroom, which the thing that used to be Lightroom a year ago, is now Lightroom Classic, which has connotations in all sorts of directions. And what is now Lightroom is what is called Lightroom now is a reduced version of Classic that has its main storage in the cloud. And I totally get it. That doesn't sit well with many, including myself. And it is certainly a point of confusion. But yeah, the way I see it at this point is life goes on. At this point, I see mainly as a name change, because they want to tap into a new and broader market, I think, with Lightroom. And those of us who rely on local storage for their photos are kind of still in the majority. But Adobe clearly has the plan to change that over time. In their ideal world, Adobe would probably want to move everyone and their photos into their cloud and then sell us the required storage space. And that might sound sinister, but for a certain type of photographer, that might make a lot of sense. In general, the cloud concept isn't a bad one, I think, because for the non-technical majority, it removes the need to manage local storage. And if you're not a computer geek, that is incredibly opaque to most people, you know? Plug in a disk, mount it, do backups, juggle the storage, free up space, and move folders to a different drive. That is incredibly hard, if not impossible, for the majority of people. If you're listening to this, I kind of know the demographics of the listeners. There's a good chance you have a bit of a technical mind. You're probably the IT guy at Christmas back home, right? Or at Thanksgiving. So you kind of have an idea how hard that is for most people to do the technology thing. But if you are that IT guy for your family, you might shirk this all off, yeah? Right? If you run your own NAS, you're not the target audience. Clearly you're not. But, put yourself in the shoes of those people that you're the IT guy for. Again, the majority of them would happily spend a few bucks a month to have all of that technical system management stuff off their hands. And I see the risks, you know, the servers go down. And I personally wouldn't totally rely on the cloud. I do have, even for the iCloud stuff, I do have set it away that I keep a local copy of everything. I do manage my own hard drives. I have my NAS in the basement. But, you know, things are kind of changing. I see that with the access statistics to the different websites that I run. Some of those get 3/4 of their access through mobile devices now. We are on many sites, we are way beyond the 50% point for mobile access. And that's not only because we have our phones with us all the time. It's also because an iPad is not perceived as being a computer. It's very non-threatening in terms of technology. You know, it doesn't feel like technology. It's just this slab of glass that you touch. The cloud is just a logical extension of that. And so I get it, but that doesn't mean I have to like it. Now, of course, the big problem with depending on such a system, again, is something that's called data portability. How can you take your data and move it to somewhere else? And I came across this thing, really interesting, so I want to tell you about it. Right now, again, that's very difficult, if not impossible. That's the reason I still have two photographic lives. The majority of my photos live in Lightroom, but then there's a significant chunk in Apple's iCloud, and everything I shoot with my iPhone, again, goes into Apple's cloud. Why? Because that data isn't easily portable to another system. It's also the reason I can't just pack up Lightroom and go to, I don't know, on one photo, RAW, or whatever Affinity or Serif is going to come out with. They're working on something. Yeah, it's not easy to move your stuff around. Data portability is a problem. And yes, I know, like, the companies are working on stuff. Like, Lightroom Mobile allows you to import your iPhone photos. But honestly, I don't want to give Adobe even more power, as they already have, over my photos. So I keep those two libraries separate from each other. But there's at least a tiny light at the end of the tunnel. It's not here yet, but there's the DTP. Yeah. The old ones among us go desktop publishing, DTP. No, it's the Data Transfer Project. And it's beginning to do something just in one area, not in the photos area, but datatransferproject.dev, D-E-V. I think it's Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Twitter. Again, not photo related, but it's a start. And let me read from their website. Quoting from the website, the Data Transfer Project was formed in 2017 to create an open source service-to-service data portability platform so that all individuals across the web could easily move their data between online service providers whenever they want. The contributors to the Data Transfer Project believe portability and interoperability are central to innovation. Making it easier for individuals to choose among services facilitates competition, empowers individuals to try new services, and enables them to choose their offering, to choose the offering that best suits their needs. End quote. Now, that is mainly about social media stuff. Again, Facebook and Twitter and so on. And they are still working on that. So at this point, there's no results there. But I think it's a good start to get people thinking, especially the part about how interoperability and portability are central to innovation. That really hits a spot with me. A company locking users into their system might win them, make them more money in the short term, especially if they have a monopoly. But real innovation only happens if there's real competition, and data portability in the field of photography would allow that. Again, data portability is a great goal, and it might be possible with like text and media-based information, like what social media networks have, but it will be more difficult and run into more resistance from companies like Adobe, who still seem to think that locking in their users is a good idea. So we'll have to see what the future brings in that respect, but maybe it's time to start thinking along those lines. Anyway, not I told you, no silver bullet at the end of this, but maybe a question. What would it take to make our Lightroom libraries portable into other systems? Let me know what you think about that. Send me your feedback. tfttf.com/voice is the place for your feedback. tfttf.com/voice. I would really love to start a discussion here on the show. So, as I said earlier, I'm gone this week. I'm gone from the Viewfinder Villa for an entire week. And when you listen to this, I'm down in southern Germany visiting family and holding a workshop for a client and doing some consulting work. It's an advertising business who wants to brush up on visuals and on composition and on design. And they also want an independent look on some of their campaigns. And I love doing these kind of things. I love carrying what I learned in photography into other disciplines. That's just fun. And composition is everywhere, right? And all this translates really well from photography into other areas. So that's what I do this week. But I also wanted to pre-record an episode for you, which is what I'm doing right now, this episode. And I had a bit of a conflict between preparing for that client session and recording this episode for you. Now I know I can fit all this into my schedule. This is not the first time I'm doing this, but I'm recording this on a Sunday, and Sundays are kind of special for me. I hold a lot of my workshops on weekends, which uses up weekends, and when I travel, it eats up a lot of the weekends too. And I really love to spend at least the Sundays with Monica if I can. You know, it's just my time to recharge. But I'm not saying this to make you feel bad, because I have this big grin on my face while I'm doing it, because I love to talk photography, and I also know a lot of you want to hear what I have to say, especially about topics like today, like Lightroom, something that touches the majority of you. So don't feel bad. This is my decision to do this, but sometimes it makes my days a bit more crowded than I want to. So I often have that conflict between doing paid work, paid client work, or spending 3 or 4 hours doing like an episode of Tips on the Top Floor for you. And I also make 3 other photography-related podcasts, 2 in German, but also The Future of Photography, which I hope most of you are familiar with. And that's why I'd like to take this opportunity and just remind everyone that I'm on Patreon, that just a little bit of voluntary support can help me juggle that conflict a bit better. And honestly, your contributions allow me to more and more decide to research and write and produce a podcast as opposed to doing other paid work. And, you know, I love doing this here so much more than all the other stuff that I do. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'm so grateful for every single one of you who decided already to chip in $1 per episode or more. So to bring everything up to date, I've just gone over the Patreon tier structure on my page, which is like the $1 tier and the $3 tier and a couple more higher up ones. And I also recorded a new welcome video that you can also find there that goes into more detail on all this. So if you're a patron already, first and foremost, thank you so much for your support. You are awesome. You rock and you help me be a bit more independent. And please have a look if anything that I did there changed anything for you. And if you're not a patron already, you can find the page at tfttf.com/Patreon. tfttf.com/Patreon. Thank you so much. And that was it for this episode of Tips from the Top Floor. Thanks again for everything. If you are a patron, check out tfttf.com/Patreon to see if the changes I made changed anything for you. And there are plenty of other ways to support the show, like giving it a ratings on iTunes, donating Auphonic credits to help make the show sound great, or a simple word of mouth. You'll find all of that at tfttf.com/support. Thank you. I remember that. Oh, also, I know you're waiting for the end of the Slack challenge. I decided to give it one more week, maybe. But I will definitely review that very, very soon. And Matt will have a new challenge for you guys. So stay tuned for that. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, Silent Partner and Hans Peter Kagerud Publishing, and Slack Challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Rapsitar, Armstead, Slack Invitations by Chief Invitation Officer CIO Rusty Russ. And of course, as always, the link to get on the Slack is in the show notes. My name is Chris Marquardt. You'll find me on social media, including Mastodon at Chris Marquardt. Now go out and take amazing photos. Share them with the world. Be nice to each other. And happy shooting.